What's happening, Marion? Hello, I'm Pastor Clay. Uh-oh. I didn't hit the right button. All right. You'd think this was my first day to do that. First day on the radio. Yes, sir. Welcome to What's Happening, Marion. I'm Pastor Craig, and that's what we're going to tell you is what's happening this next week in Marion. And let's get started right away, because I do have a guest coming here in a few minutes to share some things with us, so I want to cover these other things as quickly as we can. So, free community meal tonight at Shining Light Baptist Church on Marion, on Church and Mount Vernon on the Point at 6 o'clock. You can get a free meal, dine-in, or carry-out. Also tonight is at the Palace Theater, Disney's Finding Nemo Jr. Now, what this is a special arrangement that they arranged through another company, and it's a 60-minute musical adaptation of the 2003 Pixar movie Finding Nemo. And it's at tonight at 7 o'clock, tomorrow at 7 o'clock, and Sunday at 2 o'clock. And tickets range in price from $12 to $24. So again, it's a 60-minute musical adaptation of Finding Nemo, is Disney's Finding Nemo Jr. Tomorrow, Saturday, from 9 until 3, is the 7th annual Crafts for a Cure for Alzheimer's Craft and Vendor Show. This is a fundraiser for the Alzheimer's Association. It will be held at 2730 Harding Highway West in Marion, Ohio. That is at the Isla Grande Farms out near Big Island. So they are going to have local 4-H groups on hand for your breakfast and lunch options. There will also be some prize baskets. So this is a big craft and vendor show tomorrow. Also tomorrow is the farmers markets. And farmers markets in LaRue, and also the farmers market in Caledonia. All right. Let's see. We've got the first annual Presidential Inflatables and More at the Woods. This is from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And 1775 Marion Waldo Road. That's in Marion. Come out and enjoy some family-friendly fun. They are going to be having bounce houses, food trucks, live entertainment, 50-50 raffles, comic book heroes, and much more. And it's only $5 to get into that event. Let's see. Excuse me. Also tomorrow is the Marion Micro Farm Project Farmers Market. It'll be from 12 to 2. Again, that's from 12 to 2, the Marion Micro Farm Project. It's at being held at the Harding High School, which is 1500 Harding Highway East. Again, it's from 12 to 2, and it'll be or until sold out. So they have tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers, eggplants, carrots, more. They do say that they're going to have some fruit there. So that is tomorrow. All right. Let's see. I'm kind of stuttering here because in addition to wanting to get as much of this in as possible before my guest gets here, guess what? I misplaced some of my notes, so bear with me. All right, October 8th, that would be Sunday, we have a Faith and Blue event. This is free from 3 to 5. A nationally recognized weekend inspired by faith-based leaders to build relationships between law enforcement and the communities that they serve. So the Marion Police Department will be hosting this. It is at Lincoln Park. Lincoln Park's the one on Prospect. And it's going to be a family-friendly community event with food trucks, games, and other activities. And again, that is from 5 until 3. Okay. We have on Monday the 9th at the Palace Theater is Ballroom Dancing with Kirk. And this is the 5th week of the 6 weeks, but you can go for a single class or you can go for the two remaining classes. And this Monday night they're doing the Country Two-Step. So that's Monday at 7:30, and it lasts for about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes. Also, let's see, on the 11th, October 11th, from 2 p.m. until 4 p.m., the Marion's Women's Club is offering a tour of their historic home. It costs $5, and you'll get a chance to see the beautiful Colonial Revival home built in 1903, so it's a 120-year-old property. It is on the National Park Service Historic Registry, and by going there, you'll have a chance not only to see the home, but also learn a little bit about the Women's Club in Marion and the history of women's clubs in Marion and the impact that they have. And it's really amazing when you get into it, all that they have done in the women's clubs in Marion. Okay, let's see. We've got here. I know we've got a couple more things here. Okay, at Marion Public Library, Teen Scene, next Thursday. Now, they do this, I believe it's every other week. Teen Scene, from 3:15 till 5 o'clock, and it's at the Marion Public Library. Your teenagers can get help with their homework. They have various crafts that are going along. Some themed activities, discussions about literature, podcasts, and pop culture. So that's Thursday at the library. Marion, the downtown Marion Farmers Market on Thursday night. That's from 4 to 7. That will be this Thursday night, the downtown Marion Farmers Market. Okay, now there's a couple other things I wanted to let you know about, and we'll get them pulled up here in just a second. And okay, let's see. Tuesday at the Marion Public Library, at 3 o'clock, is their Books in Focus. And why is this not coming up on my phone? All right, let's see. Sorry about that, folks. I was a little bit disorganized here this morning. All right, Tuesday at 3 o'clock is Books in Focus. Join a rotating cast of Marion Public Library on the second Tuesday every month, 3 o'clock, to hear about new books hitting our shelves. And that, as I mentioned, that's the second Tuesday of every month. So if you go there, you can find out what it is they'll be talking about the next Tuesday. So that's this Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the Marion Public Library. Also, Tuesday at 3:15 is Teen Dungeons and Dragons. And again, this is something that they've been doing and they're continuing to do for teenagers 11 to 18. And doesn't matter your skill level. You're welcome regardless of your skill level. Now, in the All Adult Lifelong Learning Program, which you have to get registered for at the library, and there is a fee involved, but this Tuesday at 5:30, they're doing a history of bluegrass music, and there are still some slots available. This program explores the bluegrass music genre from Bill Monroe's first spot on the Grand Ole Opry in 1939 through Flat and Scruggs, Jimmy Martin, the Stanley Brothers, and many other pioneers. Using guitar, mandolin, banjo, and vocals, attendees come away with a deeper understanding of America's bluegrass music. Come and enjoy the music and history from the 30s through the 60s with some gospel and sing-alongs mixed in. This is 1.5-hour course is led by Bill Perk and Reed Jones, and it gives their musical background. So that's a history of bluegrass music. And let's see. On Thursday at the Marion Public Library, A Short History of the Earth. Again, this is part of their All Adult Lifelong Learning. There is registration required and a fee, but there are openings in this class also. A Short History of the Earth, Thursday, and this is for 3 weeks. Thursday, October 12th, the 19th, and the 26th. The first session, session one, is a geological time scale and of the Earth relating to plate tectonics and radiometric dating. That's a mouthful. Session number two, they're going to be talking about the Precambrian era, the early Paleozoic Cambrian, the Ordo, well, I'm not even going to try and read some of these things, but you get the idea. And then session three, they get into the Mesozoic era and Cenozoic era. And again, that's on Thursday at 2 o'clock. So that's what's going on at the Marion Public Library. And that's our rundown for this week of what's going on in Marion. And now I'd like to welcome to the microphone and in my guest chair, someone who's no stranger to the station, Fred Malone. Fred, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. I'm sorry I might have been a couple minutes late. I had another meeting at 10:30 this morning with a joint friend, Glenn Coble.
Yes.
And had to leave that a little bit early and got into some traffic. Marion's traffic's getting to be something anymore.
Yeah, I know it is. I feel like I'm back in Columbus.
No doubt. Well, you know, I've spent my entire life in small towns, so just a little bit of traffic is a lot of traffic as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Plus, there are some orange cones down.
Yeah, well, you know, we have orange cone season in Ohio every year, and it seems like when we have decent weather, as we've had the last couple of months, the cones seem to multiply, and I know they're trying to get things done before winter, which is fine. I appreciate that. But, for instance, I was driving to Malabar a couple of weeks ago for a board meeting, and I couldn't go the way I normally go because they had 309 closed. goes. So, you know, I had to go 95 into Mount Gilead and work my way around all the different closures to get there. Took me about 20 minutes longer than it normally takes, but we put up with those things to have decent highways.
That's right. And if you've traveled down South 71 recently, they've got Orange Cones construction going on 71 all the way from in sections, but between Grove City and Wilmington. And
you know, I don't think they're ever going to finish working on that stretch of highway. It seems like they started working on that about 20 years ago, and they haven't stopped.
I know.
You know? But anyway, it is what it is. You know, we put up with those things to, again, to have decent highways, and we're so fortunate that we have an interstate system in this country. If it weren't for Dwight Eisenhower, we wouldn't. So,
you know, that's a really interesting thing too. I mean, he obviously had the vision. And there were enough other people that had the vision.
True.
I don't know how well it was received by the general public initially, but boy, I can't imagine what this would be like if, you know, now today at some point we would have got on board and had that vision.
Sure.
But would we be playing catch up?
Well, and a lot of people don't realize that, you know, back in the day when he had the idea that he was trying to take a caravan of Army equipment coast to coast,
right,
and it took months,
right.
And today, of course, you can get on Interstate 70 and go coast to coast in 4 or 5 days without too many stops. So.
And you know, that's the interesting thing. The interesting part of it is initially his vision for it was driven by the military need to be able to get
absolutely.
It wasn't necessarily, you know, for commerce.
Correct.
Or for vacations, or, you know, it was from a military standpoint.
Absolutely. And he was absolutely right. Just coming out of World War II, if we had another war that ended up on our soil, how were we going to get equipment from one part of the country to the other?
Right.
So the only thing we can be thankful of is that the powers that be agreed with him, and they were able to build the interstate highway system. And again, you know, you can go anywhere north, south, east, or west in this country in a matter of days, which is fabulous.
Yeah.
I've been doing a thing with Linda Sims on her program the last couple of times I've been on. We've been talking about things to do in the state of Ohio. And, you know, we're so fortunate to be located where we are because you can get in your car and within 2 hours and 15 minutes, you can be at any point in the state here. Mm-hmm. And so we're really fortunate that even our system of state highways is in the condition that they're in. We can thank a lot of the legislatures and some good governors that we've had over the years.
Now, I have to admit, I'm not able to catch Linda's show most of the time, so I haven't, and I didn't know that's the thing you guys were talking about, so I don't know what all you have talked about, but one of the things that I've discovered in recent years is that Ohio, almost every county has one or more museums.
Oh, yes.
And what's interesting about it is they're not necessarily a county museum and this is what we have.
Correct.
But there's a lot of specialty museums. Like down in Brown County, they've got a tobacco museum.
Yep.
And, you know, you've got various, you know, Air Force Museum, but they tend to be, you know, they have a certain specialty.
Right.
And we've just got all these little specialized museums.
Yeah,
it's fascinating.
We're absolutely very, very fortunate because of that. Just thinking of Marietta, for instance, I love to go to Marietta because it's a fantastic place to visit. One of the original towns, actually the first real town in Ohio as part of the Northwest Territory. And they have 2 or 3 very interesting museums down there that are privately run. They have a funeral museum there. I don't know whether you've ever been there or not, but anything that would have to do with funerals or death, you'll find there. I've been to places in Ohio that had a dental museum. Down in the Picktown area, Pickerington area, there's a gentleman that has a military museum that's privately owned. So yeah, we're very fortunate. And right here in our backyard, so to speak, the Marion County Historical Society recently inherited the old telephone museum that was out on Bell Fountain Avenue. We now have Mary Ellen Withrow's museum in our museum, which was over at where she lives over at, can't think of the name of the place.
Kingston.
At Kingston. No, not at Kingston, the other one. Primrose.
Yeah.
At Primrose. And of course, those were places that were hard to get into because they were operated usually by just one person, Mary Ellen, in her particular case. So, yeah, it's amazing that Ohio does have that type of structure, and we're fortunate that there are people that are interested enough in our history and our background to preserve those things, whether it's on a countywide association, a citywide association, or just a private individual.
Yeah, and I think that's a kind of a key point, that there are a number of these museums are privately owned.
Correct.
Because the individuals cared enough or had an interest, you know, an interest in collecting something all their life, and it just kind of grew into a museum, and they wanted to preserve it.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a couple of friends that they're both retired now, and a number of years ago, the Ohio Civil War Museum was started in Tiffin. Have you been there yet?
No, I have not.
The friends of mine, most of the things that are in this museum now are from their private collection, but they have things on loan from other people from the area. And when they first started, obviously, they had a number of things that were from fellows that participated in the war between the states that were from Seneca County. But over the years, they've had people bring things in, and they've now become a depository for anything Ohio Civil War related. It's in the old post office building, much like we are
right
here in Marion County. But there again, it's basically run by a small group of people that formed a small association. They call themselves the Ohio Civil War Museum. I think they've got four members on their board. And those are the kind of things that we don't think about when we're looking for things to do in Ohio. And that's one of the things that Lynn and I have been talking about the last couple of months that I've been on, especially now that we're into the fall season and we have nice days and people like to take what the radio and the TV calls one tank trips, fill your gas tank up and go. So we're really fortunate to have those things. Tiffin also has a Tiffin Glass Museum, which is another group of individuals that started a museum 20 years ago to preserve the history of Tiffin Glass that was made there. Fostoria has a museum called the Fostoria Glass Museum. Glass was made in Fostoria. So it just goes on and on and on. And as you say, in almost all of Ohio's 88 counties, and I think if we took a survey, we'd find that there is something like that in every county.
Yeah. I guess now with the growth of electric cars, you have to call them one-charge
trip. One-charge trip, yeah. And I'm not even sure one charge would do it anymore. Yeah.
It might get you there, but I don't know about getting you back.
Yeah, that's a thing. And I have mixed feelings about electric cars. I know they're going to be great for the environment, but also found out here not too long ago a woman was stranded in Delaware and couldn't find a place to charge her car.
Yeah.
So this could be an issue too. So, yeah, and that's, of course, that's for another subject.
That's another subject for another day. But I've been hearing some horror stories. But anyway,
yeah, right.
So originally I asked you to come on because you were planning to have a ham and bean dinner the 13th.
Yeah.
And I guess you've had to cancel it. So fill us in on what's going
on. Yeah. Well, just to reiterate a little bit on that. This was a dinner that we had been doing for a number of years. I'd say probably at least 10 or 12 years. When I first came to Marion from Wyandotte County 20 years ago now, it's hard to believe, a little bit longer, about 22 years ago, I got involved with the Historical Society pretty much right off the bat because I've been involved in history my entire life. I was a history minor at Ohio University back 100 years ago when I went to college, and I've just always had that interest. And so that was one of the things that I first got involved in, was this dinner that they had at Kingston. It was ham and beans and cornbread. You know, it was just a nice get-together. And then the lady that was kind of the spearheading individual of that dinner passed away a few years ago, and it just kind of died with her. And my father-in-law is presently at Kingston, and so we go over quite a bit. And we were having a lunch or a dinner over there back in the late fall last year, and Bob Goyer, who does a lot of their public relations, and I'm sure you know Bob, he came up to me when we were having dinner. He says, "Hey," he says, "you ever think about having the ham and bean dinner again here?" And I said, "Well, no, but let's talk about that." So we got together along with Brandy Wilson, our director at the Historical Society, and we thought we'd try it again. And things were going well. Anytime you have a dinner like this where you need to plan how much food to cook, you need to have some idea who's going to show up. So, of course, we wanted to do advanced ticket sales, and we had a cutoff date of the 5th of October. Well, as it got close to the end of September, we'd only sold like a dozen tickets. And it didn't look like things were going to pick up enough that we could make a decision in 5 or 6 days. So we decided to cancel it. It's not going to die. We're going to try it again next year. We'll start a little earlier and really try to get the word out that, hey, this is the dinner that we used to do. It's going to be the same as it was before. We need your support. It was only going to be $7 a dinner, which is a cheap price for a meal out these days.
All right, all you guys.
So we're going to try it again. We'll try it again.
Men, mark this down on your calendar for next year. It's a cheap date.
Yep,
for you
it'll be in October again. don't have a date, but we'll try to make sure that we get it the word out a little bit sooner. I thought we'd done a good job this year, but apparently we had not. But we are in competition with a lot of things. There's always football to worry about on Saturdays, and there are a lot of school programs that start taking place. There's a lot of school activities, so we'll just have to do the best we can. You know, the sad part of it is, too, Pastor Craig, unfortunately, we're not alone in this, and I've said this before, our membership and our supporters for not only our historical society, but for a lot of historical society is waning. And a lot of it is because of attrition. Our members are just simply dying off. I mean, there's no other way to put it. And we need more support from young people. And I'm constantly looking for younger people to become involved, not as just a volunteer in the museum, but to be a board member and to really participate from that standpoint. The average age on several of the boards that I serve on is 70 or more. And, you know, let's face it, at that age, we can't keep going forever.
Right. And unfortunately, for the young ones, you have a lot of competition.
That's
There's a lot of
exactly
competition
right.
coming. There's so many things that they can be interested
yep.
in.
They're raising families. I understand that. They're working on careers. Some of them, hopefully, are involved in organizations that involve younger people. I appreciate that fact. But with history, if you don't preserve it, it becomes lost.
Right.
And we have about 35,000 items in our archives that we have collected and saved over the 55 years that we've been in existence. And it continues on. And as people age and they have things that belong to their relatives, and things that pertain to the county, to the history of the county, they want some place to put them. So we can't really refuse things. We
right.
don't want to refuse things because we don't want someone to not bring us something that we may not have. So if we don't keep going, there's no place for these things to exist.
Right.
And that's the other thing that we're constantly in need of is funds to keep our doors open.
Right.
You know, we operate with 2 paid staff members and a janitor. Everybody else is a volunteer. No one gets paid. So everything that we do, whether it's an event that we're holding or whether it's a cleanup at the museum or whether it's changing out an exhibit, it's all done by volunteer help. I think the 2 women that we have running our organization, our director and the assistant, I think they do a fabulous job. I wish I could give them more money. They're worth a lot more money, but it isn't there. And we get no outside support other than from our memberships, the events that we run, and from some endowments that we've collected over the years that we can take interest on once a year. Other than that, once in a while, the county commissioners will give us a little money, but unfortunately, their budget hasn't allowed that for the last couple of years, so we can't even depend on that. But we get no state, no federal aid other than grants that we apply for, and that takes a lot of work too.
Yeah, and I'll bet, you know, the general public in general doesn't even really think about
supported. And the other thing we try to get the point across is just because the building is located in the city, it doesn't mean we're a city museum.
Right.
We are a county facility. We take in anything that involves Marion County. So I always like to try to get the point across that it's a Marion County Historical Society.
Right.
And it doesn't cost much to be a member every year, $25 or $35 a year. You can put a family membership in or whatever it is. It's inexpensive. And that goes a long way to help support the museum.
Sure.
Because that, you know, it costs to keep the lights on. It costs to keep the building heated. We're in a building that's built in 1910. So it always needs upkeep. We're right now in the midst of a capital campaign. Our roof needs taken care of. Our HVAC system needs updated. And we're looking at about $1 million that we're trying to raise right now. Fortunately, we're about 68% there. We've got enough money now that we can do the roof. We've got enough money that we're going ahead with the HVAC system, but we have a lot of work to do interior and exterior to the building that we still need another $350,000 to raise. It's not a sprint. It's definitely a marathon. So even if you can't help us this year, think about helping us next year.
Yeah, and I will say this, and I'm not saying this just because you're here, but I will say this. You know, I was totally impressed when I went to Heritage Hall.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just totally impressed with the facility you have there, the way you have it set up and everything. And it's a good value for the dollar.
It is. And the thing I like to point out, too, I'll see people on the street or I'll pass people and I say, you know, have you been to the museum? Oh, yeah, I was there 3 or 4 years ago. But have you been lately?
Right.
Because what people don't realize is the atrium of our museum, the biggest room on the main floor of our museum where they used to sort the mail, I tell people that, they'll realize what I'm talking about. The exhibit there changes every year. When we close the museum at the end of November, everything that's in there, with the exception of Prince Imperial, who's a permanent exhibit, and really the soda fountain, which is permanent, everything else basically comes out of those cases, and it's completely revamped for next year. And the girls have a plan so many years in advance what's going to go in there each year after year after year. So when we close those doors, we start taking all that out, and it all has to be put back in the archives. Everything has a number and a place. All has to go back, and whatever's coming out for next year's exhibit, which has a number and a place, has to be found by a volunteer, brought out, and put in a case for next year's exhibit. That's extremely time-consuming. Sure. Because we open for the weekend in March. So that only gives us December, January, and February to prepare that new exhibit.
So you close when?
We actually close at the end of November. We'll be shutting down. Currently, we're open Wednesday through Sunday from 1 to 4, and that will continue to run through probably the end of October. If things slow down somewhat, we may break it loose another few days ahead.
Okay.
And then we'll stay open for weekends in November, and then we'll shut down.
All right. So they've got, so people have a good 2 months left.
Yes.
This year.
Yeah.
So what, even if they had gone last year or 2 years ago, what kind of new things can they expect to see?
Well, if they haven't been in the last year and a half, last year in July was when we accumulated the Mary Ellen Withrow collection. So that's all new. And that chronicles Mary Ellen's entire career. And of course, she was the first woman to serve on a school board here in Marion County. So that started her career. She's the only person, man or woman, to serve in the capacity of county treasurer, state treasurer, and treasurer of the United States. So we're looking at a career that lasted, 60 years. And so she has a fantastic a collection of items that she's collected in that 60-year career. The places that she's been in this world, not just in the United States, but in this world, in her job as Treasury of the United States. So that's a fantastic exhibit. We accumulated the telephone museum collection out on Bell Fountain Avenue about the same time. So that's all in one room now. And that's interactive. We have that set up so that the kids can dial on one end of a table and answer on the other. And you'd be surprised. Kids come in and see rotary phones. They see the old candlestick phones. And they have no idea what any of that is. Because, in fact, they don't even know what a push-button phone is from what they're used to using today. So that's very fascinating. And then we have Sherry Williamson's Woodland Elves collection. Which Sherry used to have at her home when they lived over on the boulevard, and we got that all about the same time. So that just came into the museum toward the end of last season. So this season has been the first season that all three of those have actually been there that people could see. So that was a whole new section. This year we've got featured an exhibit on agriculture for Marion County. So we've got a lot of items that pertain to the agriculture and the start of Marion County. Marion County has always subsisted basically on agriculture. We have a nice African-American exhibit that shows the presence of the African-American community in Marion. And then a lot of things that have to deal with the fraternal organizations in Marion. Elks, Eagles, Masonic Lodge, all those types of bodies that have been a very, really a very serious part of Marion County. When President Harding was still living in Marion as a newspaper editor, the local Elks Lodge had over 2,000 members in it. Wow. 2,000 wow. members! That was a huge organization. Unfortunately, those type of organizations are dying off.
They really
Again,
are.
Membership. I think the Elks is down to a couple hundred members. The Masonic Lodge is down. Here's the sad part. We've always had a good representation of exhibits from churches in our museum. Church membership's down tremendously, as you well know. Churches are consolidating just to stay alive. So if we don't keep this history of how important churches, fraternal organizations, anything like that was to Marion County, it'll die out entirely.
Well, I know, like, for instance, KFP,
Knights of Pythias. Yes.
Many of those have closed.
Oh, yes.
The one down in Prospect, they're down to a half a dozen members at best.
Yep.
And, you know, you're right. There's a lot of history there that will be lost of what these organizations have done over the years. Because, I mean, if I mentioned to some of the people like Matt who was here or some of these other people, you know, KFP, Knights,
they have no idea what that is.
They would look at you funny.
No.
Like, what
no.
are you talking
no.
about?
No.
And
no.
so,
yeah. And there's so many of those, you know.
Yeah.
I will say the Knights of Columbus is still very much a great organization, but I don't hear too much about DMLA anymore.
No.
Which was a young people's group. I belonged to DMLA when I was in high school, but you don't hear much about that going on anymore, and that was an offshoot of the Masonic Lodge. The Eastern Star, you don't hear much about those anymore. When was the last time you heard about a Grange having a dinner?
Exactly.
Or a feed? How many Granges are still in existence?
Right.
You know? And it's just, it's sad, but I guess it's the times that we live in that people just aren't, well, I guess they don't need the social contact like that we used to get from those organizations, because now they pick it up and have it in that little device in their hand.
But the question is, do they really need it still? Do
they do. Still? Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
Absolutely.
The thing. I feel, I'm not, I don't want to get on a tangent here, but
I
feel
I understand.
That we're suffering from not having the personal contacts because
Absolutely.
We rely on that. So
Absolutely.
We're down to a few minutes here, and a couple things I want to ask you about. What events do you have coming up? I know you have the dinner with the presidents. Do you have any other events coming up through the end of the year?
For the balance of the year, that is our primary concern right now. We're fixated on that dinner.
How's that coming?
It's doing well. We still have some general seating tickets available. All the presidential seating is sold out. That actually sold out in about March. That always goes first. People are always interested in having that contact with that presidential reenactor and first lady. But there are still plenty of general admission seats available. I think at last count we were around 190. We'd like to top out about 300. The cutoff for tickets is going to be October the 18th, so we're down to about the last couple of weeks that you can buy tickets. That's normally when we get our last big push. Unfortunately, and I hate to say this, but it's true, but people in Marion always seem to wait till the last minute to buy tickets for things. We always seem to find ourselves in the same boat every year. We're running around 200 a couple of weeks out, and then that last week, last 2 weeks, we usually end up filling up. So if you're interested at all, call a museum, 740-387-4255. Stop in during the day. Between the hours of 1 to 4, the front doors are open because we are open for the tours. But you can also go to the State Street side entrance Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 4. Ring the bell and they'll sell you a ticket there. You can also go online, marionhistory.com, buy your ticket online, pay for it with a credit card on PayPal. So there's all kind of ways you can get it. I didn't bring a list with me. I think you might have one, or I usually leave one here. But this year I have four speaking presidents, like I always do. Mary Ellen Withrow is a featured speaker for us this year again. We're so fortunate to have her and have her to be able to do that for us. So, and she always comes up with something new to say every year. And then I'll have another, I think I've got eight or nine presidents and or first ladies in the audience that will be having tables association with them as well. So this year we are down at All Occasions in Waldo. This will be the first time we've been there since the very first year that we had it was down there, and we're trying something new this year, and hopefully it'll work out. But that's our big event. Then we'll close for the winter, and our next big push will be our night at Heritage Hall, and that will be in March, and that's usually the last weekend in March on a Saturday. We try not to conflict with any Ohio State basketball games or March Madness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those things will usually take people away from us. But that's always a fun event, too, because we'll have 30 or 35 costume reenactors in the museum recreating Marion's characters from Marion's history, Ohio history, U.S. history, and they'll intermingle with you as you walk around the museum while it's darkened with a flashlight. So that's always a lot of fun.
We got about 2 minutes here, but the one thing I've always kind of wondered about, and real quick, the president reenactors.
Yes.
The people that do that, I'm assuming you sometimes have to go to other states to find a George Washington or an Abe Lincoln, or are these all from Ohio?
I've never had to go out of town.
Really?
Yeah, a couple of times I've reached out to a couple of my friends up in the Tiffin area to do a certain president, but everybody else that we have right now are all local people.
I didn't know that.
All local people.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and believe it or not, a lot of the people that do the reenactments look a lot like their characters, and I do that on purpose. I try to find sure. people that have a resemblance. I would put my Teddy Roosevelt up against anybody. Harry Truman the same way. He looks just like him. In fact, he was out at the Harry Truman Museum last year with his family, and one of the curators of the museum came up and said, "Boy, you look like Harry Truman." He said, "Well, I do play Harry Truman for our Historical Society in Ohio."
That's great. I had no idea that they were all that local. Well, that's great. Well, Fred, it's great having you here. There's about a minute left. Why don't you go ahead and give us the website and the phone number and the days that you're open?
Okay. We are open currently Wednesday through Sunday from 1 to 4. And, of course, the museum is the old post office building on Church Street. And our telephone number is 740-387-4255. And the website is marionhistory.com. And thank you for having me on. I'd like to come back sometime.
I definitely will have you back. And, folks, please take time to go to Heritage Hall and check out the history of Marion County and what they have there. I truly think you'll be amazed. I know I was the day I was there. And it's a great value. And seriously, consider getting a membership.
Yes, we'd appreciate it. We really would.
I mean, it's nice, you know, that you give a donation or you pay to go in and go see everything. But seriously, consider a membership.
And that gives you free access at any time.
And it's well worth the money. So again, Fred, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
This is a wrap for me. I'll see you next Friday in What's Happening, Marion. But also, stick around. I'll be back after the top of the hour break with Scott and Matt for the Exchange Club. Again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in today.
You're listening to The Talking Place from Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you.